In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages, amen. It is such a glorious day, a joyful day in the Lord. Sunday is the day of the resurrection. Sunday, the day of joy and cheerfulness and celebration. And that's why I just want to start the meditation today with something funny that I heard this week. Someone asked Anufi, what was the first animal created by God in paradise? So he thought about it for a bit and then he said, it must have been the zebra because it is black and white. It must have come before all the animals with color. So just to start us off with a little bit of a smile and a cheerfulness to accept the word of God and to open up our hearts to the word that God wants to send us today. Today's meditation is entitled, Let's Make a Difference. Let's Make a Difference. And basically, I've divided the meditation into three main parts. The first part is fighting discouragement. Secondly, discerning our gifts. And thirdly, making a difference. The meditation today is inspired from the reading of the book of Acts that was read for us today from the book of Acts chapter 9. And in it, the church shared with us the story of Tabitha or Dorcas. And who is this Dorcas or Tabitha? No one knows anything about her. Only mentioned once in the scriptures. Didn't hear about her before. Didn't hear about her afterwards. But God wanted us to connect with someone possibly insignificant, didn't have a major ministry, wasn't well known like St. Paul and St. Peter and Samuel and David and Solomon and all these great people who made a huge difference with the nation of Israel or with the Christian people in the first century. But the Spirit wants us to connect also with the little people who made a difference in their context, in their communities, in their surroundings. Sometimes we are discouraged because we say, maybe I'm not like Terry Fox. I am not this like great person who changed the whole world or a person who invented this or did that. But we can make a difference within our own surroundings, within our own families, within our own communities, even if it's just a small difference. What about this Dorcas? Let's open together and turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 9, which is the reading of the praxis this morning in the church, and see what God said about this lady. Verse 36. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Of course, afterwards, St. Peter, by the power of God, he raised her from the dead, and everyone rejoiced so much. What was the ministry of this simple woman? Just to make tunics and look out for the needs of the widows and those who have no one to remember them. It wasn't much. Maybe she affected a handful of widows, a few of them. But after she passed away, this was her legacy. This was how she was remembered. And God was glorified through the ministry of this simple woman. Let us start by speaking about fighting discouragement. The evil one comes to us all the time to tell us you are not good enough. You are not strong enough. You are not talented. How many times in private meetings with people do I hear this? I have no gifts. I have no talents. I don't know what to do. I cannot contribute. I'm discouraged. Ever since I moved to Canada, I've had bad luck. I've lost my job. maybe I was much better before I came, or a couple of years ago when the economy was better, I had a good job and everything was well, and now I've been laid off my work. I was dealt a bad hand in life. Everything wrong is happening around me. Some children say, my parents discourage me all the time. They call me names. Some people who work with other people, they have bosses who are tough on them, who always discourage them and who put them down. Some people are discouraged because of the weather, because of circumstances. And we feel that this man that came up to Christ, and all we know about him, that his hand was withered. You know, when something is withering, it doesn't just happen overnight. It happens over days and weeks and months of discouragement. Look at the flower when you first have a gift of a beautiful bouquet of flowers. It looks so beautiful and colorful. But after a few days, it starts to wither and wither and wither until it dies. It's the same way with discouragement. When we live in an environment of people or circumstances that control how we feel, we get discouraged and are put down, and we become like a barren woman who cannot bear children, or a man who cannot bear children, or something of that sort, that maybe over the years. And this story actually happened was in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth actually tells us of Naomi. And something just clicked this week about the story of Naomi that I never thought about before. God just revealed it somehow. If we follow the book of Ruth, we find that Naomi, along with her husband Elimelech and her two children, Mahlon and Chilion, they moved to a land of Moab because there was a great famine in Israel at the time. And there her two sons got married, but then they both died in war, and then her husband also died, and she was left only with her two daughters-in-law. She became old and she said to them, I cannot conceive anymore. I am old. I cannot conceive. I don't have any more children in my womb. That means she had passed a certain age and she became barren. But as we follow the story, we find that originally she was called Naomi, meaning pleasant or joyful, the one who brings joy to other people who are around her. But when she moved back to Judea, she told her friends, do not call me anymore Naomi, but call me Mara or Mora or bitter. You see how discouragement from circumstances around us affect us so much? She was put down and she started to doubt that God is still sitting on his throne, that God still gives us the life of victory. She was discouraged because of her circumstances, and she became of no effect. The Bible says, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? We are like that sometimes when we lose our flavor and we are discouraged by circumstances or people or events that transpire in our lives, whatever that might be. So she wanted to be called Mora or Mara or bitter, and before she was called joyful and pleasant. How can the children of God turn from being pleasant into being bitter? Then the amazing thing that happened, that God showed her that she should not be called bitter. She should return to become pleasant once more. But how could this happen? God did such an amazing thing with her that really made me wonder. Of course we know, or we might have come across the rest of the story, how her daughter-in-law Ruth was married, and then she had a child. And this child became a grandfather of David the prophet. But not only this, something amazing and very surprising happened to Ruth, and this is actually what made me wonder this week. When I read it, I said, God, you are an amazing God. You are a wonderful God, a God of miracles and a God of compassion. Look at what happened to her towards the end of the story. And we're going to focus on Ruth 4, mainly verse 16, but we're going to read a few verses before that. And then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Okay. Read this verse, please, with me. Okay, Ruth 4 verse 16, such an amazing and powerful verse. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. This old lady, her body started to bring forth milk for the child. And as the Holy Scripture says, that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Your youth is renewed like an eagle. Just when we think that we are at the bottom of the barrel, we have nowhere to go, we have no hope in life, God comes with a new resurrection and a new hope for eternal life and a new hope to renew us and to bring us back into His flock. This same woman who wanted to be called bitter, not joyful, the same woman who told her daughters-in-law, I have no more children in my bosom, now she has a child. And what is she doing to this child? The grandmother is nursing the little child, and God renewed her youth like an eagle. Such an amazing testimony for us never to fall in despair and never to give up. Just when we think that everything is about to get bad and worse and go downhill, God comes and shines bright on us with His light. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 30. And I love to go back to this verse because it gives us so much hope that after the night, again, there is morning and there is hope and there is the joy of the holy resurrection. God in His mighty power gives us this joy and gives us this strength and the ability to overcome all of our challenges and all of our differences that had put us down in the past. Psalm 30 says, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Focus on verse 5, please. For His anger is but for a moment. When we feel just things are going downhill and we are extremely discouraged because of all the circumstances, we say, listen, His anger is just but for a moment, but His favor is for life. He has taken care of me my entire life, and this is just maybe a season in my life I'm going through. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping will just be for a little bit, but when the bright sun shines in the morning, then the Lord will come with a mighty arm to save us and to deliver us from discouragement and from feeling down all the time. Our God is the God of joy, the God of grace, the God of help, the God of assistance, the God who loves all unconditionally, and we have found favor in His eyes. My beloved, in order to make a difference in our surrounding, number one, we have to fight discouragement, to renew our youth in the Lord just like an eagle, and to have strength, and to say, just like St. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me in Philippians 4, 12 and 13. St. John Chrysostom comments on this verse by saying, since this might seem like a great boast, what St. Paul has been saying, see how quickly he adds, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Any achievement I have had belonged to not to me, but to the one who gave me the strength. Giving God all the strength, the honor and the glory back to Him as I confess and I say, I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. The second point we want to make is that after we get up and just dust ourselves down and get back on our feet, number two, we need to discern our gifts. In order to make a difference in our surroundings, we have to discern our gifts. What is it that God wants us to do? Many people come and say, I want to serve, I want to minister, I want to make a difference, but I don't know what to do. Well, here is the thing. God wants to be glorified in your current gifts that He has given you. What is it that you like to do? What is it that you are good at? The Holy Spirit dispersed so many gifts amongst the believers in the church. And there's so many places in the scriptures that speaks about discerning the gifts that God had given us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God speaks about the one body and the many members that are inside this body. And if each and every member contributes according to their own gifts and talents, look how lively the church is going to be. Look how much powerful the community that we live in is going to be. He said in, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have all been and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. Doesn't matter how we grew up, what matters is now and today. Doesn't matter what ethnicity or background or culture we come back from, God wants to use us now and today and right here. And no one should say and be jealous from the other one, but live in harmony. Because in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And the foot should not say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. No, this shouldn't be the case. Some members of the body, if we move down a little bit in the chapter, we find that if one body or one member of the body suffers, everyone else suffers with them. For this reason, if anyone goes through a hardship in the church, we all go through hardship. And if anyone is joyful, we are also rejoicing with them. God gave us so many giftedness, and He wants us to use them. And He wants to be used in our gifts and in our talents for His own glory. Also, He spoke about discerning our gifts in the epistle to the Ephesians. If we open Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we find the Holy Spirit saying to us, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Everyone should contribute. No one should stand still or sit still and just be ignorant or doesn't care. Some people say, I just want to be saved. I just want to take care of myself. Good. Take care of yourself and your soul. But also make a difference with other people. Follow your calling. Ask God. Pray to Him. Tell Him, God, what is it that You want from me? Why is it that You put me in this place, in this city, in this community, in this church, in this family, and make a difference right there and then? If you are gifted with talents or music, or you're a thinker, or you are in administration, or you are someone who is a reader and likes to read and impart knowledge unto others, if you love hymns, if you love the stories of the saints of the church, if you love the history, do and be joyful and be filled and impart unto others and help out others. Number one, in making a difference, we have to fight discouragement, because it is very much around us. Everywhere we go, there are circumstances and being politically correct and things that are just pulling us down. God wants to say that He is a victor. We are not victims, we are victors in Christ Jesus. We have favor in His eyes. And He has given us His grace, and He is encouraging us to start our mission and our ministry. Number two, we have to discern our gifts. And then finally, let's see practically how can we make a difference. Making a difference has to start with our own families, with our own households. There's a beautiful verse that St. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 5, chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 reads the following. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Providing for your own household. If you don't do this, if we don't do that, we are worse than the unbelievers. You believe this statement? Very strong statement. Caring for your wife, caring for your husband, caring for your children, caring for your parents, being loving and caring. We might have a great service and ministry in the church, but we are not ministering to our own families. Husbands, please be kind to your wives. Otherwise, there are some consequences. And I'm going to share with you some of these consequences. Not sure if you've heard in the news this week. On Friday, it was all over the news. And this article I printed from the Globe and Mail. It said, woman cleared in husband's hunting death. A woman cleared in a husband's hunting death. Basically, a woman went with her husband hunting. And while they were hunting, she shot him dead. So she was being tried. She has been on trial for a while. And her excuse that she thought that he was a bear, basically, when she shot him. So that's why we are announcing that next week we have a hunting trip if anyone wants to join us. So you never know when you would be mistaken for a bear and your wife causes some bodily harm. Okay? So that's the story in the Globe and Mail this week. So I think if we listen to the words of the scriptures, we're going to be safe. Okay? So when husbands are kind with their wives, they're not going to mistake them for bears and they're not going to shoot them. And vice versa, of course. But the love of Christ that is in our heart will never make us do this. But it was such an interesting story in the news this week. The Spirit tells us today that if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I was visiting a young couple a couple of months ago, and they are newlyweds, and I just give them like a surprise visit. It wasn't planned or anything. So when I went there, the first thing I saw on their table was each one has put their Bible and a little diary and also the book of the Synaxarium, the story of the saints. And this was a habit of theirs to read together and to pray together daily on a regular basis. I was so joyful over that. Such a good example. We need to bring back God into our lives. Let's make a difference in our own homes, in our own households, with our children. Maybe once a week or twice a week we can sit together as a family and pray. It makes a huge difference in the long run. Our children will remember it for good, forever. Believe me, the devil is trying to destroy the homes now. And that's why we need to make a difference in our homes, in our households. We have to declare this household from the minute we enter into its door that this is a home that belongs to Christ. The devil has no place in this household. We rebuke Satan. We tell him, you have no place in our hearts, in our lives. This family is consecrated to you. This family completely and totally belongs to you. The second place that we can make a difference is in our church community. And please, let's turn together to Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 48, or 47, the last two verses in the chapter. And we can see how the early church was so joyful. It also speaks about the church being in peace. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Do we want to have a missionary community, a community of evangelism and preaching and witnessing to God? We have to do like the early church, what they did. They had everything in one accord. And they broke the bread together from house to house. And they ate their food in gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with one another. The key is right here. It's not a big riddle. The solutions are here for a successful church community. Let us make a difference. Invite someone to your home, maybe who doesn't have a family here in Canada or new to the church. Extend a loving hand, a welcoming hand. Give them a smile. Give them hope that God is still sitting on his throne and he is King of Kings. He is the Pantocrator and he rules and he reigns forever. This is what we need to hear. When we go out in the world, there's still so many discouragement. But in the church community, let us make a difference and let us discern our gifts. If your gift is in teaching, teach and come up and say, this is the gift that God has given me. If your gift is in outreach, call someone. You don't need an official invitation to invite someone to church or a ministry. Just with the kindness of your heart, reach out to someone. The third way that we can actually make a difference is in our work. in our, or if you are a student in your studies or in your vocation. Let us make a difference there also as Christians. It is really sad that the ministry of Christians has been diluted only inside the four walls of the church. As a matter of fact, the conversion of the church to only belong between four walls is new to the church. The church originally belonged in the fields and on the mountains. Look at St. Paul when he wanted to preach. He went to the Areopagus. He went to a mountain, and there he met the people on their journey, and he spoke to them. Yes, he was humiliated at times. They called him a seed pecker. That's fine. But he won even two people from the community. We as Christians belong out there because there is so much hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Let us make a difference in calmness, in quietness. In a spirit that is respectful to others, we can make a difference. Many of the great inventors were Christians. People like Pascal, Blaise Pascal, or the Wright brothers, or C.S. Lewis, or Isaac Newton. All of these people contributed greatly to the community, to the culture, to society, while maintaining their faith in God. And then finally, I want to say, let's make a difference within our community, also outside the church. Those who are less fortunate, those who are called the Lord's brethren, working with the homeless, working with those who are disenfranchised, those who are pushed away from mainstream society, they need the believers, they need the victors, they need the people who have tasted the beauty of the Lord. Let us make a difference there. My beloved, do not underestimate the power that God has given us, the grace He has given us. Even if we feel that we are withering away, you know, the winter is just knocking on the door now, and all the leaves of the trees are falling. Very soon, you will see the trees stripped away from their beauty and their greenery. If you look at them and you are discouraged and you say the trees are dead or the grass in the lawn is withering away and dying, this is not the whole truth. This is just part in the passage towards greatness and towards being green and alive once more. Maybe we are in a season in our life when we just need to break through the barriers that have been set around us. And God wants to give us this ability today to break through, to know that the chlorophyll is just absorbed inside, but when the time is right and the weather is right, it's going to become green once more. And it's going to have so much life, and it's going to bring so much joy to the people who are around it. My beloved, let us be encouraged, just like Tabitha today, just like Dorcas, a simple woman who had every excuse in life not to make a difference in her surrounding. She was old, probably she was sick, probably she was a widow herself. No one knows all the details, but all we know is that she made a difference in her surrounding. She made a difference with the widows. She discovered her talents and her gifts, and God led her to make a difference, to make certain embroidery to these poor widows, and she made a difference in their surrounding. I believe today that God is going to help us to make a difference at home, in our communities, outside with the homeless, with the people who are in need, those who are pushed away, disenfranchised, in our workplace. People will see us and glorify God. Inside the church right here in our community, each one is going to make an amazing difference. Lord Jesus, I pray that you may bestow your blessing today upon each and every one who is here. And Lord Jesus, just give us the ability to make a difference. Maybe we don't know the power that you've given us yet. We've been put down and discouraged for so long. But I know, Lord, that starting today, we're going to live with such a fresh spirit, a new spirit, a spirit that is able to conquer and to live victoriously in the world. Help us, Lord, to discern our gifts and to know what is it that you are calling us to do. And once we've done that, help us, Lord, to make a difference in the world today and always. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.